All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome again to the ICAT Task Force weekly meeting. Just want to acknowledge that one of our co-chairs, Alex Goss, is attending the NCVHS Standards Subcommittee today. So we may not have the full team, but I'll go ahead and do the roll call for who we have so far. Cheryl Turney, Erin Mary, Alexis Snyder, Anil Jain, Denise Webb, Jim Jurgis, Ram Shiram, and Sasha Termont. Any others that are on the phone? Okay. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Cheryl to get us started for today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for attending today. So on our action plan for today, we have a brief review of what we did last week. We're going to look at the draft paper and some of the comments that have been posted as a result of folks taking a look at the paper and making updates. Also, there were a couple of questions that I had when I went through, so we're going to review all of that. If we have time, we're going to also do a beginning review of the high-tech draft presentation, which is just the slide deck that we anticipate submitting to high-tech, and we know that may require some additional modifications based on how we tweak the recommendations between now and then. Then we go to public comment and next steps. So we can go to the next slide. So just briefly to recap what we reviewed last week. We reviewed the gap analysis that was completed by Deb Strickland and myself, where we basically compared the ideal state and guiding principles against the recommendations that we had seen so far and identified areas where, you know, we either had some questions or saw some gaps and discussed with the team, which was a really fruitful discussion relative to some things that needed to be modified, and so made some notes and was able to get those notes embedded into the final draft document. And it's not final, but the draft document that's updated now. In addition, we also looked at all of the recommendations that had been culled out of the third parties that came to either do a presentation or shared information with the ICAT group since our inception in earlier this year. And many of the presentations had suggestions and they had recommendations. And so we just wanted to review those with you as a group and make sure that, again, our resulting recommendations took into account all of the things that we had seen and heard from other third parties. Not that we were going to adopt all of those recommendations, but we wanted to make sure we had discussed and at least considered them. So all of those comments had been processed and updated into the current draft of the paper that is now out on the Google document. And so any questions on what we did last week? All right, with that, we're going to move right into reviewing the draft paper. And Michael, if you can share the document. I know that a few folks are still having some issues viewing the Google document. And what we had discussed was after we step through our review today, we're going to try to make that draft paper available in a PDF form so that anybody that has difficulty to the ICAD member group actually accessing the Google Doc can at least review the current state of the paper and then provide your email comments back, you know, to us and Excel and ONC so that we can incorporate those into the Google Doc for anyone that is actually having issues with that process. So we want to, you know, be sensitive to that. So, Michael, I'm going to need you, as you're presenting it, just to, you know, I'm going to probably bring it up on my side screen here. So hold on a second so I can actually read it. But I just need you to show the
some reason I have to log in again.
Yeah.
We're going to do that real quick.
No worries. That'll give me time to bring it up actually on my other computer because, like some people, I can't actually get to it from my work computer. I have to get to it from my personal computer. But I want to also be able to read it. So. Okay.
And Michael, if you could just zoom in on the document a little bit once you pull it over.
We'll do that once I've got
yeah.
the correct
okay.
print. Is that better?
Much better. That's perfect. So just the first section is the instructions that are out there for everybody on how to make the updates in the document. Michael's going to skip over that and go to the background. It has been a while since we showed you this paper, so wait a minute, Michael. I just want to, again, as we're stepping through it, explain each of the sections so that folks see what's there, even though we don't have any comments on it. So in the first section, we have the context as part of the background, and then we have defining the problem. And again, there is narrative related to how we define the problem. And then we talk about essentially crafting the solutions. And I'll wait for him to catch up to me. Is essentially, there we go. He's quicker than I am. Crafting the solutions, you know, really outlined what we, what our challenge was initially and, you know, also, somewhat about our process. So here is where we started getting comments, and in the paragraph that starts with specifically the ICAD's vision is to support the convergence of clinical administrative data to improve data interoperability to support clinical care, reduce burden, and improve efficiency, furthering the implementation of record once and reuse. To achieve this, ONC charged ICAD to produce information and considerations related to the merging of clinical and administrative data. So the comments that we have related to this are all regarding should we add qualifiers for, you know, for all stakeholders and things like that. The only reason why I would and Alexis was the one who brought this up, and I just want to be sure, yeah, Alexis is on the meeting today, was that since this is the charge that came from the ONC, I would, you know, if you want to add it, we can. It wasn't actually in the charge that came from ONC, although we defined it to be for all stakeholders. And we do say that in multiple places throughout the paper. But I guess, Alexis, I just wanted to check with you, and maybe you can just respond if you want to, if you're okay with us leaving it the way it is, because really we were just trying to reflect the charge the way it came to us.
Sure. I mean, I think where I was coming from is when it says to support clinical care, reduce burden, and improve efficiency, it just makes it sound like it's clinicians only. And I just think since through the rest of the paper, it's about all stakeholders, that it just, for better flow, is kind of like for everybody that's in that clinical care space.
Right.
I mean, it's not going to kill me one way or the other.
No,
I
absolutely agree with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then the next one is mine. So while you already have me, because I'm going to ask again. Was the comment about where ABLE was for the record once and reuse, because we talked a lot about how that we you know, in our recommendations, we have where we can do that, because there are places where you cannot.
Yeah. No, we definitely had that as a charge, so we want to keep that in with the record once and reuse. So I do think here we're going to just take that out. So we're going to say for all stakeholders, reduce burden and improve efficiency, furthering implementation of record once and reuse. So the way it currently is framed, and you're seeing this, right, Michael, what I just changed?
Yes.
Oh, I love this. Okay, so it is working.
Great.
Alexis, would that satisfy your comment?
Yeah, I think just to make it sound better, I know you'll have editors, but you could put all to support all stakeholders to reduce burden and improve efficiency.
Okay, I like that. And yes, we actually are going to get some other editors that will be working with us. Haven't started yet, but hopefully that will be coming on board soon. See also that Jim had his hand raised. Jim, did you have a question?
Yeah, hey, I wanted to make a comment about this same section. I think when you look at 21st century cures, there's, you know, reduced provider burden, promote interoperability, but there's also improved patient access and engagement. And I'm wondering if, because this is a charge ultimately from 21st century cures, we ought to be more overt about adding, because, you know, far off, increasing the efficiency does improve patient access. So, Alexis, I thought, you know, to me it seems like adding that in there is important, because the patient having access and knowing status and getting these approvals so they can get their care faster is part of patient engagement and access.
I absolutely agree.
I agree.
Okay. So, and I think I heard Alexis agree. So, now we have furthering implementation of record once and reuse and improve patient access. Okay.
Love it.
All right, so let's drop down to the next section where we had some comments. But again, I'm going to just highlight for you what's here for those that have not had the opportunity to get into the paper. Then we talked about designing and conducting research, inviting industry to present, identifying patient and process-focused solutions, producing task force recommendations, all the things that we've been working on. Then it talked about the what IPAD is comprised of, beginning the system, envisioning a system-wide improvement. Now here, this is what wording that I believe Andrew had inserted, but it was to begin envisioning system-wide improvement. The ICAD task force examined the specific case of electronic prior authorization. So we have to decide if we want to embellish upon the durable medical equipment example that we utilized to begin with, or if we just want to cover that in the section that talks about data classes. And I'm not sure, based on the way that we're reading this, whether we should add it here or add it there. But we're going to leave this note in here until more people actually get to review the document and they can provide their input.
Hey, I think it's Jim Jurgis who worked on the data classes section. And the introduction to that section may accomplish this.
Right. That's why I'm thinking we might not need it here, because that's what I think also.
Yeah.
And I think, when Andrew did put this comment in, those sections hadn't been inserted yet.
Yeah, I will just make a note.
So I'll just make a note here. Oh, thank you, Michael. You make the note. Easier for me, and thank you so much, because I'm still working with a wounded wing, which is what I call my carpal tunnel hands. Okay. I'll give him time to do that. All right, so then the next section is on examining the prior authorization, where we talk about the current landscape. So here again, it restates the fact that we, and embellishes more on inviting industry and government leaders. And then it talks about the small group, where we talked about a clinical workflow diagram. And see, here is where we're actually adding that verbiage, Jim, which is why I agree. I don't think we need it. Up above, I'm almost thinking now we can just eliminate it. But then how we utilize this small group exercise to begin outlining data classes, guiding principles, the ideal state, other considerations and recommendations. And actually here, we don't actually say, we do, and reimagined ideal state. So we do say that. Then we go into the prior authorization data classes. And so there's a lot of comments here that we might want to take a look at. So to begin with, we start with administrative authorization for clinical services adds the considerable burden. And then it goes on to say, and I'll just read the last sentence, within each of these areas, workflows are highly variable with multiple stakeholders, each contributing information at different steps. Depending on which of the four categories and what services, drugs, or equipment are ordered within each category. I think this is a little bit where we talk about the four classes being pharmacy, durable medical equipment, outpatient medical services, and inpatient medical services. So we label those above, but here Anil made a comment, this appears redundant, as we already said, within each of these workflows are highly variable. So it sounds like we might be able to just eliminate this last phrase. Anybody object to us just eliminating it? Because we do actually say that.
Yeah,
we're saying the same
I agree.
Thing two different ways. Yeah.
Yeah, having written this paragraph, I completely agree. It's unnecessary.
Okay, so we're just going to delete this, and then we'll just end with the different steps. Okay. Then in the next paragraph, we talk about in some instances, the authorization process involves the provider and staff, the insurance company, the patient or patient representative, and the fulfillment service. So we already made a modification to that. And I think what we said was wherever we mentioned patient, Alexis, we're going to try to make sure we have added patient or patient representative wherever it makes sense, so that one of the editors, when we get them, will have them look at that all through the paper and make sure we're consistent.
Yep,
and I think
that's
that
great.
Will resolve your comment. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what my I think my comment.
Yeah.
I can see how you could take it that way, but that's not what my comment was meant to be. So my was kind of making a statement that patients and patient representatives, such as caregivers, are not usually involved in the process, that we end up having to be involved and be the go-between, but say that the actual process involves provider, staff, insurance company, patient, or patient rep isn't really what happens. That's what I was highlighting.
Yeah, it should, though, right? I mean, it should involve that.
Oh,
today.
Well, it should, but it's not current state, right?
Right,
well,
but the first they get involved when there's a problem, because
exactly
that's
the
problem.
Well,
that's when the patient rep gets involved,
right? If they can, the way the system is set up, there's not a place for it. So it does create a burden, obviously, because you do have to try to get involved and be the go-between. But I'm just saying that this sentence makes it sound like it's designed to include patients, and it's not.
Right, and I think, you know, I didn't want to take it out because I can't tell you the number of times, you know, me personally or on my daughter's behalf, we've had to get involved in order to get a prior authorization approved by calling her company and having them call the insurance company and all of this stuff, and that's not the right step, but that has happened numerous times. So
preaching to the choir for sure. That's like 3 to 5 days a week out of my life.
Yeah.
Hi, Joe.
It's Jim Jurgis.
Sorry, guys. This is Lauren. I just want to acknowledge we have Denise Webb in the queue with her hand up, so just want to make sure we're capturing thoughts from everyone.
Okay. How about we go to Denise, and then we'll come to you, Jim. Go ahead, Denise.
Well, I'm just listening to what everybody's saying, and if I understand, Lex, that if you reworded this, I think what she's trying to say is, the current state is the authorization process involves the provider and staff, the insurance company, and the fulfillment services, probably in most cases, but typically not the patient or patient representative, but should.
Yeah. And typically.
If you leave it in there, but I think it's to be reworded to say, you know, in most instances it involves these, and typically not the patient. Patient representative, but it should involve them.
Yep. Is not directly involved, but may get involved to resolve barriers or to escalate.
I would say may need to get involved.
May need to. Okay, get involved. May need to get involved to escalate issues with the prior authorization process. Approval. How's that?
Yeah, it's better. I would think about it as we go forward because I just feel like it doesn't reflect, you know, what Denise was just saying too, that but they should be. There should be a formal process for them to be engaged, but they're not.
All right.
It's very ad hoc.
Hey, it's Jim. Can I comment on this real quick?
Yes.
Maybe a simple wording, because when I wrote this, I was trying to do a couple things. And maybe instead of saying involved, the current process involves, because that's where we're getting hung up. We're saying, well, it doesn't. It should, right? Maybe it impacts. So what I was trying to point out is a couple of things. One is that some of the processes are simple and just have, you know, the provider, patient, and pharmacy, an insurance company. But others have a bunch of different stakeholders that are impacted. So perhaps we say, wait, where's the beginning of that paragraph? Perhaps we say, you know, some processes impact. In some instances, the authorization process impacts the provider and staff, insurance company, and the fulfillment service. In other situations, such as durable medical equipment, there be additional stakeholders who are impacted. Because then the involved sounds like it's working ideally, which was part of your objection, Alexis, right? But by impact.
Yeah, I think that sounds great, changing that.
Yeah, because then we can
say, wouldn't even need the
We already said, in the prior paragraph, we said we want to improve efficiency and patient access, right? So we don't have to retry that in this paragraph. So let's just change it to impacts those.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that. I was going to suggest that either what you're saying sounds good or to reword it to just say that it's just not what it reflects. Like instead of saying in some instances the process involves, it's more like the process usually only involves. That's not the right language, but you know what I'm getting
at.
Well,
what we're trying to accomplish, because if there's too many messages in two sentences, it can get tough. The main thing was that there are some use cases where there's a limited number of stakeholders impacted, and there are some that have an enormous number, right? Like the fulfillment service, the therapist. That's the only point of this. So maybe just by saying impact, we're just pointing out that there are different stakeholders for different use cases.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do that,
we
should say shoulda somewhere, but probably not in that sentence.
Yeah.
Or maybe this
right.
section.
But if you're going to do this, you need to change the second sentence. So that in other situations, such as durable medical equipment, there may be additional stakeholders impacted.
Yeah, who are impacted. And then don't try to talk about what shoulda, woulda, coulda, because that's a key message. We want the patient to be engaged, and we want each of these stakeholders to be more efficient.
But that's a later section.
All right, so Jim, I'm going to leave it the way it is because I did not get all of what you just said. So I'm going to put a note here that, Jim, you're going to go in and take what's currently there and you're going to wordsmith it because you seem to understand what Alexis was just saying, and I did reword it, but I think there's still some additional changes that need to be made.
I think you caught it, Cheryl, except for that second impacted and removing that last line in the paragraph that you added originally.
Right, but I don't want to take out the patient interaction at all because today, most likely when patients do get involved, it's to escalate things that are not working. And you don't think...
Oh, we should leave it.
Right, so it has to be re-added to the impacted. sentence, the first sentence. Yeah. Jim's got it. He can fix it.
I added in many cases the patient or patient representative is not directly involved in the PA process, but they need to get involved to escalate issues with the prior authorization approval.
Right. What Jim is saying is that he can incorporate that in the beginning with the way we were just what we were just talking about. So he can just take that out and fix it. Yeah.
Okay. So hold on. Let me just put a note here. Jim will fix. Jim will wordsmith. All right, Jim. I'm leaving it to you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Then we go to the next statement, which I believe, Anil, this. Oh, Jim, did you have something else? Because I see you still have your hand up.
No, that's a residual arm still up and losing blood.
Oh.
It's up in that colon.
Okay. The next paragraph starts with by identifying and standardizing. And in this one, I believe Anil had a question to – Go ahead, Anil.
Yeah, sure. So right now, the way that it's written, it seems as though our priority is to reduce provider burden, improve patient access, and reduce improper decisions. And all I did was I rephrased it with what I think the priority should be to improve the quality of care and then improve patient engagement while reducing unnecessary burden among stakeholders so that we're serving up the most important goal first. You know, I from a clinical perspective, it makes more sense to try to ramp up quality before we try to reduce burden. But it's a little bit of wordsmithing, that's all.
Yeah, I like that. While reducing, just tell me if you unnecessary burden among stakeholders.
Yeah, I don't think we can reduce all burden, but it's the unnecessary burden we're trying to reduce here.
Okay, I like that a lot. I hope others like it as well. Good take. That one we've taken care of. Michael, I don't know how on this tool to show that we address the comment on the side. So if you know how to do that.
I think we click checkbox. I'm going to try it. Yep.
Okay.
There we go.
It went away. Okay, perfect. All right, then the next one that we had was, I think this highlight, the highlight that there is just to ensure that when the editor comes, they add the, they're going to add a footnote to the regulations. Then we go down to the roles and stakeholders. These are not really new. We did review the roles and stakeholders when we talked about the data classes, but you may not have seen the chart that actually Jim and his team actually put together, Josh. So this just takes the stakeholder map that we actually already had, but we had it linked to each individual type of transaction. And they translated it into a stakeholder map. And this is to show the folks that are reading the paper who are all the stakeholders that are currently engaged in the process.
Impacted, not engaged.
There are any questions on this section before we move to the next one? I just didn't want you to be wondering where did that come from. That's where it came from, and they did a great job pulling that out. Then they did do the standards mapping with the data classes, and these are referred to by the tables that were added. So now in the paper, we actually have the tables that we referred to when we previously looked at this, but the tables weren't in here. So the first one is a description of each of the data classes and the data class definition, which we all went through multiple times. So I'm not going to go through those today, but if anyone has any additional input into that, feel free to add it to the comments in the Google Doc, and we'll add those as we go in the future when we review this again. Then we had a standards capability legend. And again, all this is defining what we saw in the data classes spreadsheet that you're going to see in table 5. So again, we already discussed these as a group. Then again, this is additional description for the adoption analysis. And that's really what did we mean by unclear, proprietary, draft standard. And again, we reviewed all of these as a group separately when we had the data classes work. And then finally, in table 5, here is the actual data classes document. Now, we'll have to clean this up so, you know, words are not hopefully, emerging, the G doesn't get dangling on the second line, but we'll fix this up in a future version when we get the editor. And essentially, none of this has changed, so this should be good to go. And we got no comments on it. And then we talk a little bit about the findings on the current state of the existing standards. So there's a section here on X12, and there are some things that need to be added, like here, the percentage of mature standards. We will have to get that from a third-party paper, which I believe does exist, but I don't know what the percentage is, so we're going to reference that document. We had referenced the CAQH core. I felt like we couldn't ignore it since that hearing is going on like right now and NCVHS, which is why we lost some of our participants. So we do talk about what they're bringing forward for their recommendations. And again, we're not evaluating it. We just brought forward what they had, a summary of what they had recommended for this current NCVHS hearing process. But if you have comments on any of that, you know, please let me know. Then we presented an overview of the NCPDP, which is the current state. Now, since this is in a current state, it's probably a little bit more familiar than what you will see in the CAQH core. So we were talking about here whether we should include testimony from multiple entities. And my suggestion to this group would be not to, because there's about 20 groups giving testimony in those hearings this week. And I don't think we want to take the entire paper to discuss all of that. However, because of the timing of where we are, we may want to comment overall if there's anything from that testimony that we believe we would want to put forward. Maybe there's something that we feel like we didn't cover. I don't know. But I put the question in here, but I don't know if this is something we'd want to do here. So I think because I moved the CAQH stuff, this question is still valid, but we may just, you know, eliminate it. I like I said, I don't know if we need it or if we don't need it, but I'll highlight it so we know that it's a question that of whether or not it stays in the paper. Okay, so then we get down to HL7, and we talk about those standards and what that process is, and then we talk about Smart on Fire. And again, nobody made comments on any of this stuff so far. And then we get down to recommendations. And these are comments, some of which came, this prep work was done before the real recommendations had been written. So these comments are still valid because the recommendations were popped in after. And I think, Alexis, you had a comment. It's confusing as to why there are specific recommendations here, not within the recommendations section. So we agreed with you, Alexis. I think at the time that this draft paper was put together, it wasn't entirely clear how the recommendations were going to be inserted into this paper. So I think that, Michael, you and I talked about it offline, that if there's anything here that isn't already within our recommendations, then we should address it. but this whole section probably should be pulled out and moved.
Yeah, I agree. It's Alexis. If anything's missing, then they should be incorporated into the recommendations later.
Yeah. Michael, could you pull this out to a separate document and then just send it to me? And I'll make sure that whatever's in here is incorporated later in the recommendations. But when I first reviewed it, it looked to me like everything that was here was already addressed by us. But I just want to double check so we don't lose it. And then we'll just pull it out of here.
Yeah.
All the way down to here.
Right there. Yep.
And, okay.
So let's just give Michael a minute because he's copying it into another document.
Yeah. Hoping, oh, rat. Comments don't transfer, so I'm going to have to.
Oh, there was nothing in the comments. The comments, yeah, really was just, should this be moved? So don't worry about the comments.
Okay.
It's just the narrative itself needs to be in a blank document, so we just don't lose it.
All right. It's now in a blank document. It's not screen shared, so you can still see the guiding principles.
Yes, we can, and my document looks good there too. So now we're back into guiding principles. So again, these were not, there was a header there when we saw this paper before, and now there's actually material after it, which is great. And this was a little chart that was made up of the guiding principles that just basically lists them by title, and that's all that's in this chart. But there was a comment here by Anil, which was, are we okay if we change measurable and meaningful? Instead of measurable, significant. And I think that's a good change. I don't know with the definitions. I mean, we're going to have to define the terms that we're using anyway.
Yes,
but what
Cheryl.
What do you think about that change? Go ahead, Anil.
I was going to say that this is something that we had presented previously, and my recollection was that we all agreed that it was probably okay to do that. I just didn't see it reflected here, which is what my comment was. But someone correct if I'm wrong, but I think we've discussed it.
I think that's the day Cheryl wasn't on the call.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't remember everybody agreeing, but I remember we did ask Anil, should we change it? And so then the comment was moved over by Michael because we hadn't actually changed anything.
Okay.
Same thing with the second one for F.
Oh, okay. Okay. That would make sense then. And just to be clear, I don't think I had suggested the word improvement after meaningful. So measurable and meaningful, period. Yeah.
Okay. Michael,
and
got
if anyone has an issue, they could comment on that later, right?
And then you had another one, Bill, about data model. There was a comment.
Yeah.
In
the same meeting that you missed, I think we had, as a group, presented the guiding principles and ideal state, and it didn't make sense for the data model discussion to be there, as it was more of an overriding principle.
Yeah, you're right, and we agreed to delete it. So, Michael, let's delete that one, too.
And then we'll just have to be aware that we need to re-letter as we go down the list.
Yeah, I'll make a note that we just need to re-letter and we need to reformat. So need to re-letter and format.
And Cheryl, also the table with the now 8 guiding principles was just a placeholder. I don't think we'll need it if depending on the final editors. And writers.
Okay, we can make it a list. Well, the thing is,
exactly.
Though, sometimes in a document, it's actually good to have a block or something like this because it helps the reader because it can get quite, hard to just read all narratives. So All right.
Sure.
I agree, Cheryl.
Yeah.
I think it always looks nice because it breaks it up and it draws your eye right to what these principles are.
Yeah. So I kind of like the blocks myself. It, you know, as long as they were not, right now they're a little funky in terms of spacing, but we'll fix that. Okay, so then in here, I hopefully this wording, I'm just going to go down for a minute to see this. I do think we need to A, label each one of these items, Michael, because data model is still in here and we had said we would delete it. So we need to make sure the labels for each one of these matches what's in the ensure. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't mean to do that. It moved my cursor on me. Ensure that each maps to narrative below.
We can't see your screen now.
Okay.
Now we can.
Michael. Okay. So, Michael, you're in a different spot. Okay. Here you can see my new note. So, need to letter and format. Ensure that each maps to narrative below. It, Michael, it looks like some maybe modifications to this didn't make it because when I look through, the data model is still there, and I do recall Al telling me that it was removed. So it's down there, down below also. We'll have to remove it when we get to that one. So let's start with patient at the center so we don't jump around. But here we have a paragraph that talks about upfront costs, transparency, and this was added per ICAD discussion on August 11th. And this was in the original document, so not sure why it was removed. I don't know why it was removed either. That might have been done when I wasn't here in the two meetings, but we added it back, Alexis. So can you just take a quick review and make sure it matches what your recollection was?
Yep, it's just the same. It was there when I made the comment because there was a comment before that that said it was taken out or, you know, put in to add it, and it wasn't added. It was always there.
Okay, so we can check that one off, Michael, and Alexis's comment. We're good. Now, the next one is barriers. Examples needed, incorporate resources accessible and readily available. All right, so this was examples for tools, and so we wanted to add a few examples. So we'll leave that to the editing component. We'll leave that one in, Michael. Then let's go down to design for the future, needs today. So Michael suggested or someone suggested that we have an alternate phrase option. Iterative with a goal. So we have, in order to support the principle, the ideal state must include the following characteristics. Iterative with a goal of striving for meaningful improvement, see below, from which we will learn and apply to the more complex scenarios. So it needs to be an iterative process. I think it's missing a word. Rather than a specific achievement. So instead of saying it's going to be like, you know, FHIR version 4, we're going to say it's an iterative process.
I think
go.
The point I was making here, yeah. I think this was one of my original comments from the prior edits, was that it's kind of what we already say in the ideal state guiding principle bullet above it. Talks about how it's going to be extensible and resilient to support the evolving nature. Isn't this kind of saying the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's all I was,
all right.
I was trying to say, whether we even need the bullet.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
We didn't get answers to all of the questions that day when we presented it, and so Michael moved over the comments that Anil put on the original document saying that we needed to revisit with the group. And so that's what those are.
Yeah, I don't think we do need it because number 3 below saying the same thing in different words.
And above kind of alludes to it as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can eliminate that one, Michael. that whole number one. Okay. So we're going to start with the approach should be sensitive to all potential burden by the various stakeholders to optimally drive adoption and obtain the desired impact of improving the PA process. While a floor of standards implementation is required to promote rapid adoption through common implementations, we must allow for corresponding operating rules and regulatory pathways that allow for standards development and evolution so as not to preclude innovation. This is exactly what you were stating previously, and it's stated really well right here. So I think we finished with the innovation must be done in a non-discriminatory manner to include broad participation among stakeholders, but also not imposing unnecessary barriers to those who wish to innovate. I think, you know, you're right. So, and then the third one is operating rules should continue to raise the foundation level of adoption while encouraging supporting organizations to raise the ceiling of enhanced capabilities. Did we want to add anything in this one about pilots or no? I know I keep coming back to that, and I probably shouldn't, but I'm just throwing it out there.
So, Cheryl, this is Anil. What do you mean by carving that out separately? Because if you take a broad brush around innovation, almost all innovation starts with a pilot. Are you suggesting something specific around pilots that the word innovation may not capture?
So in the USCDI process, if you know, I know you're as familiar with it as I am probably, there is a process where there is a pilot period where things that are up for adoption have had to go through certain requirements for a pilot. In the HL7 process, there's these abilities to test things, and then there are the voting blocks. But there is no similar requirement for pilots, and that's why I keep bringing it up, because we in our organization have been trying to pilot a number of the HL7 use cases under DaVinci. And I just think it's very burdensome for the providers to participate. They want to, but it requires so much work. And I brought this up before with, you know, data use agreements and other types of things. I don't know if there's something we can say to create, you know, sort of a utility network for that would make piloting easier. And is that something that we're envisioning in our ideal state? Because it certainly would be something I'd want to have in my ideal state. And I know maybe a lot of you guys, and Anil, I know you get involved with it because you know how hard it is to create these data use
agreements.
Yeah. But not everybody participates. And I know that there's a few other provider people who I've worked with who also know how painful it is. But not everybody's really aware that all that work is going on in the background while we're trying to get a pilot done in the foreground.
But wouldn't the pilots be, because we're focusing on the data classes, because that data would have to be included in USCDI, wouldn't that necessitate the use of that data being done in pilots? Or do we have to call out a pilot program within the prior auth work?
Well, that's what I'm asking, because I don't know. That's what I don't know.
I think
the part of it I just don't know. So, you know,
yeah,
I,
so this
I,
is Anil.
If we should have a statement about pilots, you know, in our ideal state, if there was, you know, the operating rules should support, you know, some sort of utility network for conducting pilots that would allow, you know, a common set of principles that could be applied against multiple types of pilots, and people will select obviously what they would participate in, but at least then we wouldn't have to go through this, you know, laborious process each time we want to do it.
Cheryl, this is Anil. What if we, I mean, you could probably write a paragraph offline, but what if we were to simply make sure that we don't preclude pilots from happening, number one, with the language that we're using, and then number two, to Jim's point earlier, since we're already pointing to the various groups that we're leaning on, and they all have relatively robust mechanisms for piloting, just point to that, point to that structure, and then make sure that we don't preclude pilots. But you're bringing up the data use agreements, which starts to make me think that we're really, really talking about is, can we start to carve out some of the information and security things to make pilots easier? And I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But hey.
No, I understand. Okay, I will.
Hey, can I have one other suggestion? Instead of calling for a pilot program, maybe we can just emphasize the importance of ONC being supportive of DaVinci, of being supportive and encouraging and incentivizing pilots. Because that's not that's been an approach that's been used elsewhere. We should call that out as important, but not try to create a program.
Right. And encourage pilots. Okay. I will definitely, I mean, yeah, okay. I think I know where we can add a comment about it that won't get in the way of everything else and try to do what we just said we wanted to accomplish. All right, I'm just going to do a time check. It's about, almost 4 o'clock, so we have a little bit more time to spend, and this is very, very helpful. The next section was talking about measurable. Okay, Michael had a question. Do we need more explanation here, trying to refer back to interoperability language that prevents anti-competitive behavior, and also try to capture the following comment made on our 8-4 call, two sides don't leave folks behind and easy to innovate.
Cheryl. Yeah, Cheryl, yep. This is Anil. That was a comment that that I had made on a prior version of the document that Michael moved forward, and it's been addressed in the rewrite of the second bullet.
Okay, so I'm going
to
get
And the question was simply to make sure for those who had the original query as to whether it faithfully did it, and I think it did.
Okay.
Okay.
I think the other one you talked about, Michael, was looking for an alternate phrase for the word today up above, and I might have skipped over that. I didn't mean to.
That was also a discussion we had on that call, that Anil was suggesting that we change the title.
Okay, is this been resolved? Is this the what you finalized it to?
No.
No, that's the original.
We weren't happy. Well, I shouldn't say we. I just think it sounds a little odd, and so if someone is better at wordsmithing that title of the of this section, to get across the point that we want it to be, you know, future-proof, but practical.
Design for the future with an iterative process, because that's what we're describing here. What do you think about that?
I don't know. Maybe we leave it in for now and let people make some additional suggestions, because I think, you know, we got time to get the title of this part right.
Ask for suggestions. All righty. That's what we're going to do. Thank you. All right. The next section was on the 8-4 call. I'm struggling a bit with what sounds like a prohibition on an improvement that benefits only one party. Oh, I think, Anil, I don't know if it's you that said this or it was Jim that said this, but I actually thought about it, and I do kind of agree with the comment that was made, because as long as no party is harmed and an improvement helps, whether it's the patient or the provider or the medical equipment or the pharmacy, then what is the harm in implementing it?
This was covered. This was incorporated already in that edit. We just went through the number two bullet. So both of these comments were from above. They're from the section above.
Okay. All right. So I can get rid of it.
Yeah, they just didn't get checked off.
All right. Okay. And we have coming down here, Michael, please review above to ensure the following sentiment is captured. Consider aspect of complexity, need to mature industry workflows, incorporate. Again, was that from above? Because it doesn't.
It's there.
It looks like it was already resolved.
Okay. Yeah, it's already incorporated in the second sentence of the first bullet there. Yeah.
Okay.
Those are, again, those are comments from the original document that just got moved, even though we edited it live together.
Okay. Well, good. This is great, then, because we have less things that we have to address. All right. Then down here, we've got, could this be moved into a recommendation? So this one was referring back to payers. Let's see. Payers have an established process for regularly reviewing and communicating the services that are going to be covered. So all of this section is really talking about payers establishing a process to communicate, you know, what requires a prior auth, what data is required for that prior auth, and then reviewing that on a yearly basis, eliminating prior auths for things that always get approved.
I think Cheryl, I'm sorry to interrupt. I think that this particular comment was, again, a moved forward comment for the last bullet, number four. And if you scroll down a little bit on the screen right now, if you scroll down to number four, there you go. So that was already higher up.
Number four in the previous section.
No, number four in the previous section.
Right there. Was the highlight.
So this was already incorporated into the recommendations that I heard from Arian and Rich. But my comment below, the other comment you see off to the side, says that Rich and Arian should make sure that their recommendations cover it. Even though I think it does, they wrote that section. I want to make sure they're good with it.
All right, so I'm highlighting that, and we'll keep that in because neither Rich nor Arian are on the call today. Rich is in the NCVHS hearing, and I don't know, Arian might be as well.
Yeah,
it won't let me
select
call
this. I think that Michael could probably, after the call, look down farther and just make sure that that's literally in the recommendations. And if it is, you can just take it out.
Yeah, it's not literally.
Otherwise,
in there.
I fear we're going to keep revisiting all the same comments over and over again.
Yeah, I can tell you, Alexis, it's not literally written like this, but I think the spirit of it is captured. But that's the only reason why I wasn't willing to say yes, remove it or delete it.
Right.
All right. The next one was down at number 11, Michael. There you go. Greater use of clinical decision support tools, accountable care models, and consensus-based guidelines to reduce the volume of prior authorization requests while increasing the value of responses. Provider and payer systems can supply procedural, pharmacy, or device-specific requirements and information needs to complete prior authorization processing. So there was a note to revisit this wording. Here's what I would recommend.
Yeah, so on the call, on our review call as a group, I had suggested what you see under Michael's comment here. In an ideal state, we should have a minimal number of PA transactions if the clinical decision support process provides the right level of evidence-based and patient-centric guidance during the care process. And then I made another suggestion that we should be even stronger and try to talk about how the PA, if you look right below it, the PA process should not be the result of inadequate use of existing HIT, such as clinical decision support tools, electronically accessible practice guidelines, and patient decision aids, all of which, when implemented appropriately, can reduce the need for electronic prior auth. my point here is simply to say we can't fall back on prior auth to help out the IT department who didn't implement their EMR correctly.
Right. No, I agree. So we need to reword this one, Michael. Okay, can you do that offline and we'll bring it back edited?
It should be done now.
All
copy
right.
Paste it.
Should not be the result of inadequate use of existing HIT clinical decision support tools when implemented can reduce the need of PA. But I didn't think he wanted, I think he wanted to add in an ideal state. That first sentence needs to be added first. And then the other, yeah.
You got it. Yeah.
Add the first comment first. And then, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
And now we can get some feedback from the group when they review the yeah. document. But
perfect. All right. So we modified both of those. Okay, now we go down to aligning to national standards. So here we had a comment referring to X12-275 attachment rather than the clinical data payload within transport. And the rules on how providers supply additional information to payers to avoid denial. There will be consistent standards, advanced processes for administrative. In addition, there would be whatever. So the comment that was made on the call was someone was wondering if we should refer to the X12-275 standard. And I don't know.
It was already.
Really, yeah.
It was added. We've already addressed this comment.
Okay.
It's in the first line.
Right here.
So we'll resolve that. And we need to rephrase the second one.
Right. And somehow that attachment standard also then needs to be applied to, you know, it shouldn't matter the method of delivery. So whether it comes in an X12-275 or it comes in an API CDS hook, the bottom line of it is the standard should apply regardless of the manner of delivery. All right, the next one was there will be consistent standards, advanced process used for administrative and clinical, where multiple legacy standards exist and are in widespread use. Efforts to harmonize these standards, including mapping, are undertaken to simplify implementation. So, so you're wondering if we need an appendix to reference all the existing standards? We reference the standards. I think they should be in the appendix, but we also do it in the data classes work. So there should be footnotes related to the standards.
Yep, I think this is Anil. I think that would suffice for the comment that was moved forward from the prior edits.
Yeah. Michael, was there something else that was meant by the comment you have in here right now?
Not that I know of.
Okay. And we just need to make sure for the editors that they're, you know, doing those footnotes and stuff. The whole next section for data model would be taken out because we said we don't need that. That's going to be part of the recommendations. I think you just need to delete it.
Delete all of it?
Yeah, all of that, the whole data model section, and then the comments will go away. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have information security, and down here under patient caregiver, There was a word added called proactively providing and expediting. Do we need that word? So it's right now it says patient caregiver is empowered and able to have a role in proactively providing and expediting. Can we just say in providing and expediting their consent when required to share information necessary for prior auth?
Yeah, I think we resolved that during those conversations also. That was my comment that got moved forward.
Okay.
Just to be clear, you'll see my comment to that comment right underneath it. And I just wanted to, I don't remember what the consensus was, but the word proactively was there, I think, because we wanted to make sure that patients were involved earlier in the process rather than after the fact when something went wrong. And so that's what my comment
So maybe Michael's rather than proactively, it's able to have a role from the beginning of the process.
Right.
The
so
start
let's
of the
say
process.
Have a role from inception to conclusion. How about that?
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah,
that's great.
Good.
Conclusion in providing. And then the in before the from can go away. There you go. Fabulous. Then we have one under number five that says in state legislation and regulation variances, as well as variance between states, are addressed through automation. I don't really know what this means, and Michael had a question about it also.
So that was my comment moved forward, too, when we had the discussion, and we didn't really visit it yet.
I think the point was that it just needs, whatever we do, needs to comply with state rules, and, you know, obviously those are going to exist, and they won't go away.
Right. I was just saying, what didn't feel clear in a way, it just needs a reword.
Yeah.
I think what we were trying to, this is Anil again, I'm not sure what, so what we were trying to say in prior conversations was that, yes, we know that there are variations between states and the regulatory process is going to vary, but that whatever mechanism we come up with, it needs, those variations need to be addressed in an automated way, as opposed to the manual processes that one might be forced to do if we don't build a system that handles, you know, 56 different variations of doing something. I think this was meant to be a comment that was split between an ideal state where there are no differences, which is obviously not practical, and a recommendation that the mechanisms to automatically capture policy differences are done in an automated way. This needs to be into a recommendation too.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, sorry. Because I've been working on my other computer, my work computer just signed me off. Okay.
And this is Denise. Can I jump in too? You know, this was a large discussion in our little work group on privacy and security about having some sort of way in the automation to drive rules around the policies, the varying policies across the state and the federal government. So what you all were talking about, but I just don't think this number five captured it quite as well. But that, I think, originated in our, I think Sasha's on too, because Sasha's the one that originally proposed this in the ideal state.
Yeah, so what we're really saying here is that we envision that the ideal state will provide automation support for any state legislation and regulation variances.
I think it's a little bit the opposite, actually, in our original discussion. If state legislation and regulation variances were expressed in a machine-readable way, we kept saying machine-readable, not automated way, then that would permit things like automation. For example, if you knew that certain types of information were sensitive in one state but not in another state, then that can be automated. But without that initial knowledge and the expression of this information in a way that's facilitates automation, we aren't able to do that. And then that had led to a number of the more burdensome manual steps that we had discussed as being challenges in the current state.
Thank you, Sasha, for clarifying.
So how does this
get that right.
new how does this new phrasing suit folks highlighted in blue right now?
I don't know that we're going to capture variations. It's more like the state would have to publish their policy in a machine-readable fashion. You could probably just say communicated, right? State regulations are communicated in a machine-readable fashion.
But don't we also want to say that once they're in a machine-readable fashion, that it's more likely that they can be then automated? Otherwise, what's the point of having them in a machine-readable fashion?
Yeah, I think that's the first sentence, Anil, right? I guess.
Oh, okay.
Sort of
the
chronologically...
first sentence is staying. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if the first sentence was staying or if we're replacing it. Okay.
No, I think chronologically, the second sentence is a prerequisite to the first, right? The prerequisite is that states would publish their regulations in a machine-readable fashion, and the reason
right.
we hope for that is because variances could be addressed through automation.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely a rewrite needed there.
All right, so Michael, leave the note in here. I think you modified it a little bit, but let's leave it here so that folks can comment on it, because this is going to be an area that probably requires a little bit more wordsmithing. So we're in a good place right now where we're at the start of the recommendation section. And so I'm going to suggest that for today we leave the paper in this spot, because we did want to take a look at the deck, so I could send that out to you after the meeting today, and wanted to at least show you the deck for the next what we had anticipated presenting. So let's bring that up. And because we have to go to public comment in a few minutes.
You see?
Not yet. Oh, yes. Now I see it. High-tech draft presentation. So what we did was put together just a high level of what we were going to present. There'll be both a paper as well as a presentation deck. So you can go to the next slide, Michael. This is just the agenda that we have for the high-tech meeting, and this meeting is the one that we have in September. I think it's on the 9th. So we can go to the next slide. We start by telling them who the task force members are, and then go to the next slide. We'll provide a reminder of what the charge was that we got from ONC and HITECH. Go to the next slide. Then we have, this was also part of our charge, the focus area of prior authorization. Then we can go to the next slide. So just so I can read it, I'm going to look at it separate. Okay. Then we had the ideal state and guiding principles. And again, you know what, go back there, data models on here, it needs to be deleted because we deleted that one. And so there'll be a narrative that will go along with this where we'll talk about what the ideal state and guiding principles are. And then we go to the next section, which talks about the recommendations. And so what we did was we took each recommendation and we have a summary, and then after that we have some more comments, and there'll be a lot of narrative related to each recommendation that we included here in the proposal. Now, if we modify these recommendations, of course, before we go, this deck will be updated, but they have the recommendations in this state from last meeting. So that's what should be in here. What we wanted to do was to share with you after today's meeting the draft presentation, and that way if you have any comments, you can let us know and we will incorporate them into an update, which we will review with you next week. But next week, we will go over the draft presentation again. We will pick up the draft paper at the recommendations area, and we'll start working through the recommendations section just like we did today with the remainder of the paper. And I think, you know, today's meeting actually went really well. What we're going to ask all of you to do, again, is go to the Google Doc if you're able, make your comments per the instructions in the Google Doc. If you don't have access to the Google Doc, we are going to send it out in a PDF form, and you can send your comments back to myself and Alex and ONC and Excel, and then we will incorporate those into the updates that we present to you next week. But we would need your comments by the end of day on Friday so that we can bring them back into the document and have that day and the weekend to incorporate them for anything that needs to be there so that we can walk it through for next week. Does that make sense? Anybody have any questions? All right, so I'm going to ask if we can put up the slide for public comment. We'll just take a pause here, and then I'm going to reiterate, you know, what our next steps are after that anyway, but I don't want to rush through this.
Great. Thanks, Cheryl. Operator, can we please open the public line?
Yes. If you would like to make a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment while we poll for comments. There are no comments at this time.
All right. Thank you so much. So we'll leave that slide up for a moment just in case anyone does have any public comments. I'm just going to speak to, again, what I just stated. So you're going to get two documents this week. You're going to get the PowerPoint with a request for any comments or input, and then you'll get a PDF of the draft document with a request for any comments or input. And then next week, we will pick up, again, reviewing the recommendations, and then we'll review any changes that are made or recommended for the deck that's going to HITECH. And we have two more chances to look at it. We have next week, which is the 1st of September, and then we've got a week after that, which is the 8th, and then we go to HITECH, I believe, on the 9th. And I believe they wanted to provide our presentation deck to HITECH by the weekend before so that people would have the opportunity to review the deck prior to the meeting. So if we have material changes, it would really be important to get those implemented into the final version for the presentation deck by next week. Any questions on what our next steps look like here? All right, then on the, we can go, if we can move to the slide 10 of the deck. This is what our overall timeline looks like moving forward. And as you can see, what we tried to incorporate is the fact that offline more ICAD stakeholders will provide input. We'll refine the draft presentation. Next week, again, we'll review more comments and try to resolve all those issues. As of the 8th, we actually did want to actually start having more broader conversations related to the intersection of clinical and administrative data. So the hope was that now that we have our draft paper, we'll be able to take that draft paper and be able to utilize that as the basis, if you will, to jump off and have these broader conversations. Any questions on where we go from here. And our anticipation is we're going to get feedback from High Tech in September. We are probably going to provide another update to them in October, and we may actually have to wait until September for our final, based on where things go with the broader intersection conversation. So we have been told we can go up to that point, but we would really like to finish it before then. We'll just have to see where our conversations with the broader intersection go. Any other questions or comments that we have today? Do we have anyone from the public line who's requested to speak?
There are no comments at this time.
All right, then I think, Lauren, that's a wrap if nobody has anything else to add.
I think that is it, and we'll see everyone on the 1st next month.
Thank you, everybody.
Have a great day.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.